Thank you, Rabbi Harris, Eish HaTorah, for allowing me these moments to share some ideas about the Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva was a mentor of mine. Rosh Hashiva was a Rebbe of mine. Rosh Hashiva was a good friend of mine. Rosh Hashiva always found time, somehow, in his amazing schedule, to meet me in New York or in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm eternally grateful to Rabbi Eric Coopersmith, who always made it happen. Somehow, when I would be in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Coopersmith would say, "Did you meet the Rosh Hashiva? Are you going to meet the Rosh Hashiva?" Always made it happen. But let's just share with you how I met the Rosh Hashiva. I got involved with Eish HaTorah. So many years ago, I'd gone to Eretz Yisrael for a trip with my mom, and I stayed an extra week, and it was my last Shabbos in Yerushalayim, and I said, okay, you know, spend Shabbos here. A friend of mine invited me to his home. I called him up Friday, "What time shall I be at your house?" He said, "Steve, it's not going to work out." "Why isn't it going to work out?" "Well, I kind of invited 7 other people in my house. There's no room for you." Okay. So I said, okay, a few dollars in my pocket, and a credit card then. So all the hotels were filled. Nowhere to go. So I meet a friend on Rehov Malach Chor. He says, "Steve, there's a guy named Jeff Seidel, never heard this name before, and he'll set you up for Shabbos. Go down to the Kotel." And what's wrong with this story? Friday afternoon, Jeff Seidel is not by the Kotel. He's there Friday night, and he sets people up for dinner. It's not to sleep over. So here I'm schlepping my luggage down to the Kotel Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the summer. There's no one there. What am I going to do? So I meet a fellow, and he said, "There's a yeshiva up there, Yeshiva HaKotel." So I walk up. I don't remember, was the yeshiva by the Kotel? Anyway, couldn't find it. And I see two guys with tzitzis hanging. Follow these guys, somehow take me to your leader, I'll find a place to stay. So they take me back to this dorm, and I see, you know, Eish HaTorah. I tell them my situation. He said, "No problem, you could stay with me. My roommate's away, you could crash with me." I stayed at the Shabbos, very nice. Following year, I began a career that was working at Bear Stearns, and one day, a partner in the firm, secular partner, said, "Steve, one of your people are here raising money." So I said, "What do you mean, he's one of your people? He's here, you know, the whole thing, the yarmulke, the whole thing." So I said, "Where's he from?" "Eish HaTorah." I said, "Really?" So I wrote a check out to give the rabbi, Rabbi Takus, okay? He was upset because he would ask me for money. It was the easiest money ever raised. Okay, I gave him the check, and that began my relationship. This is before we had the building. I think it was before Rabbi Greenman even came, before he came to New York. And every week, I would find venues in New York where Eish HaTorah could have classes. And there was a young rabbi by the name of Rabbi David Kleinman, who used to teach a fellow to my left office, Carrie Cimino. And my other right, another part of the firm, was Charlie Temmel. And every week, and that began my relationship with Eish HaTorah. A year later or so, I receive a call. My assistant said, "Steve, there's a Noah Weinberg on the phone he'd like to speak to you." I said, "Who?" "Noah Weinberg. He says he knows you." I said, "Noah Weinberg." So I said, "Let me have the phone." Answer the phone. And I said, "Hello?" He said, "Hi, this is Noah Weinberg. How the heck are you, Steve Eisenberg?" I said, "Who is this? Noah Weinberg? Noah? Rosh Hashiva Eish HaTorah?" "Yeah, Noah Weinberg." He said, "Can an old rabbi buy Steve Eisenberg dinner?" So I'm like, "Rabbi Weinberg, can I call you back, please?" So I called my friend Simcha Barnett, and I said, "Simcha, Noah Weinberg called me. He wants to take me out for dinner. What should I do? Go out for dinner with him?" I said, "Uh-oh, there goes my Wall Street career, right?" So he said, "What does he want?" He goes, "I don't know. Go out with him." So, sure enough, called Rabbi Weinberg. The next morning, we go for breakfast in Midtown, and we're in, so it's so real, we're in the restaurant, and Rabbi Weinberg takes his big hand, puts it in my hand, businessman coming and going, and he says, "Steve, you know, you never said Hashem, you'd always say the Almighty." He says, "You know the Almighty loves you." So I said, "I don't know if the Almighty likes me, he loves me, maybe he likes me sometime." He says, "You don't believe the Almighty loves you?" I'm dying. People are walking back and forth. Rosh Hashiva, this big bearded man, is holding my hand, and it took me, you know, those who know, it took me a long time to hug and kiss rabbis, all right? Rabbi Goldfarb, nature's all right, a lot to do with it. He's holding my hand, I'm dying. I'm like, "Get your hands off me, please. I'll do anything. I'll do anything, I'll say it, please. I'm serious, let go of me." And he's not letting go. He goes, "I'm going to ask you again. You don't believe the Almighty loves Steve Eisenberg? You're working for his children?" "Yes, he loves me, he loves me." And that started my relationship with the Rosh Hashiva. And I have to tell you, what was amazing was I was keeping Shabbos already most of my life. I never heard this concept that Hashem loved me. I never heard this. In any Torah class, I never heard that Hashem loved me or loved any Jew. In fact, last week I asked my first cousin, went to Beis Yaakov, did you ever hear in all your years of growing up that Hashem loved you? She said, I never heard that. I learned it over the years. I never heard this. Can you imagine, I was putting still on keeping Shabbos. I never knew Hashem loved me. Rosh Hashiva taught me this. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But I can't tell you how many personal situations, social situations, the Rosh Hashiva was there for me, giving me aids. And I remember when Jody and Gavin Samuels wanted to really build an organization called JICNY, Jewish International Connection New York. I wasn't sure if I really had the time to be involved with yet another organization. It would take away time from other things I was involved with. So the Rosh Hashiva said, people who want to change the world, start organizations. And I don't know if I would have gotten involved, but it wasn't for the Rosh Hashiva. But just to share a few stories with you, anecdotal stories. A number of years ago, H. Philadelphia was about to commence, inaugurate, initiate a Shabbos program. So I said to go down there to launch a Karbach style davening. We went down there, we expected 50, we had 150, 200 people, and very often it was the case, I would always call the Rosh Hashiva and tell him, give him nachas, you know, the accomplishments, good things that took place. So I called the Rosh Hashiva, he says, I have good boys, don't I? I have good boys. Are my boys great? I said, yes, Hashiva. He goes, so where's the next branch you're going to? I said, what? I said, no. So where are you going next? And that year, I went to Toronto, Boston, St. New Orleans. Went to New Orleans, Florida flood. New Orleans, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., Winnipeg, Canada. All right? I mean, and Rosh Hashiva wasn't into Karbach-style davening, but it worked. Go and teach the boys. And I went in every city I went to. And then after that, every year, different place, Rosh Hashanah, starting Rosh Hashanah services. I remember one time I was in the Gurion Airport, the Rabbi Weinberg wasn't feeling well. And here I see him, and he looks at me and goes, lighten up, Eisenberg! Put a smile on your face. Smile! Those who know you know how to work on the Simcha. And here, Rabbi Weinberg is a few years on me, he's not well. And he says to me, give me a good joke. Give me a good joke. Give me a good joke. So I tell him a joke. He goes, okay, not great, but okay, getting good. He goes, give me my hand. Give me your hand. Oh, no, not again. So he takes my hand, and he puts a chalk of candy in my hand. And I'm laughing with this sheep like a five-year-old. Making me laugh. Making me laugh in the airport. Okay? And then one time, he said to me, you know, years ago, before the advent of juices, mixed juices, he said, I took pineapple juice and I mixed it with mango juice. And people looked at him like, Rosh Hashiva, what are you, crazy? He says, in 120 years, Hashem's going to ask me, you never tried mango juice, my pineapple juice together? He says, Hashem wants us to take pleasure in this world. He wants us to enjoy his world. Another story once, I was at Madrid for Birthright, and this girl had more tattoos than she had skin on her body. And we couldn't reach her. She was not yet very involved Jewishly. And we took her to Isha Torah for a class. And she puts her hand out to the Rosh Hashiva. She obviously was really putting the Rosh Hashiva. And the Rosh Hashiva shook her hand. And that was the highlight of her experience, shaking the Rosh Hashiva's hand. That turned her around, Yiddishkeit, shaking her hand. Saved this girl's life. But I have to tell you, the Rosh Hashiva really, he got me. And I got everyone. When you left the Rosh Hashiva, you always felt better about yourself, and then he beat you up. And he smiled, and he beat you up. He had a way of bringing out the very best in us. Even, you know, my teaching career, okay, when Hebrew school dropped out, and on Smicha, I remember years ago we had a Dr. Alan Rozansky, a cardiologist, who was giving classes here, and his father, Tokil, who was running back and forth to Sloan Kettering. So I said to the H rabbis, I learned Rabbi Sinyagwes, you never cancel Torah class. You really should not try. I said, I'll fill in. So I filled in. We had 15 in the class the first week. Next week I had 10. Down to 8. Okay, Rabbi Dr. Rozansky's father ended up passing away. So they were going to cancel the class. So I took over. And I remember there were individuals, rabbis, who said, Steve, no offense, but you don't know anything. Thank you for sharing that. You don't have smicha. How could you be teaching them Torah when you don't know anything? So who do I call? The Rosh Hashiva. And the Rosh Hashiva said, Steve, do you know Gimel? I said, what do you mean? Do you know the letter Gimel, the Hebrew alphabet? Yeah, sure. Then you could teach Bet, right? I could do that. You know the letter Bet? Yes. Then you could teach Aleph. So whatever you know, you could teach the next person a little bit more. You have to share what you know. And that was it. And very often, you know, people come over, Steve, how could you be teaching? Rosh Hashiva, They're saying these things. He said, because they're out of their minds. You go teach. And Rosh Hashiva made me into a teacher. If you know something, so you have to share it. Gave me the confidence and the clarity. Just want to end, the last time I saw the Rosh Hashiva was right after Sukkot in Yerushalayim. And I wanted to see the Rosh Hashiva. People told me he wasn't looking so well. I really didn't want to see the Rosh Hashiva like that. I was afraid, you know, that would be the last time I would see him. And I called the house 3 times to make an appointment to see him, and it didn't happen. I see Rabbi Eric Coopersmith. He says, Steve, do you see the Rosh Hashiva? I said, truth is, he never got back to me. He's not feeling well. And I was kind of relieved, to tell you the truth. And he goes, well, guess what, Steve? Rosh Hashiva will be here in 10 minutes. He wants to talk to you. I'm like, oh. So, of course, I go up to his office with his Coke and his light on his desk. And he said, these are the last things he said to me in this world physically. So there was a paper on his desk. And this was a month after the market started melting down, melting up. And he said, Steve, it's the end of the world. He said, nobody knows it. It's the end of the world. The known world as we know it is morphing. That's it. The Shiach is coming. And nobody sees that. Hashem is wiping away all the arrogance and the ego, and it's only going to be about, it's about Torah changing the world. So I said, what should we do? He says, wake him up. 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 I said, Rosh Hashiva, by the way, this conversation I'm about to tell you, when I 15 years. Every time he would speak, I would always leave upset and challenged because I would say, Rosh Hashiva, why is it so difficult to raise money for the Jewish people? Why is it so hard to bring back our people to Yiddishkeit? It's because you're not real, Steve. So what do you mean? He says, you're not real. You're not Davin. You're not real. I said, Rosh Hashiva, I give a lot of my time and resources because you're not real. The Almighty can help us and give us everything. We're not real. If you were real, Hashem would give you what you need to help the Jewish people. We're not being real. And this would be every time I would be upset, he would say the same thing over and over again. And the last thing he said to me, the Almighty can give you whatever you need, just ask him. Ask him and be real. We're not being real. If we really were real, we could save the Jewish people. We can do it. Wake them up. And he says, and tell them, go back to America. And this is the last thing he said before Eva stormed into the office with the camera. And Eva had him laughing, telling him to move this way and that way. And he said, go back and tell them that we changed the world. Look what we've done for the world. The world were barbarians, and we taught the world about the value of life, the sanctity of life, the value of animal life. Tell them who we are and what we have, and share it. So just to conclude, the last few weeks I've been very challenged. Is you know, people have been emailing me, telling me about all the hespedim, all the speeches, eulogies of Rosh Hashiva. And that wasn't the Rosh Hashiva. This Rosh Hashiva wants us to do. It's nice to tell these beautiful stories of the Rosh Hashiva. Okay, but it's up to us, all of us. And times are very challenging. We can all find reasons why we're not doing what we should be doing, and we all have to go inside why we're not doing. But we have to be real. Those who are hosting for Shabbos, you have to add another person. For those of you not hosting, live in Riverdale or in Passaic or the Upper West Side, we have to push ourselves. And that's how we're being real. I speak to myself. Fundraising, we have to push ourselves. We go into a Torah class, bring someone else. Begin a Torah class. That every one of us in this room, we have to be real and take ownership and be responsible. Otherwise, Rosh Hashiva, what he taught us, wasn't real. We have to be real. The time is now. We can do it. We can do it. We can change the world, but we have to believe that we have the goods. You know, just to end, Rosh Hashiva, you always say, like, remember this, he said, in 120 years, I can't believe I'm saying this now, in 120 years, I'm going to expect to go into Shemayim with everything I did for the Jewish people, Sado Sameach, Ish Torah, Jewel, right? And Iyat, and they're going to say, not so fast. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Look, Noah, you got kavod, you got respect, you got accolades, but how about the fundraising I did? For that, you get to go to Shemayim. So, right? So Rosh Hashiva is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I didn't live up to your expectations. I'm starting to get real, want to get real, and we should all, in his merit,